Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to yet another wonderful Wednesday here at the show. This is the Philly Mick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick. Joining me shortly will be the Philly Hump, as shockingly, it seems like he's having some phone issues. Pretty much, you know the drill. That's how we like to do things here. I don't think we ever had a episode that hasn't had some sort of glitch or miscue of some sort, and that's kind of what we do here. But anyway, as I was saying, there he is. Let's bring him on in. Ooh, should I screen him first, or should I just bring him on in? Huh. All right, let's bring him on in. Hump, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. yeah, funny, I guess 4:30 means 4 o'clock now. All right.
Oh, well, there you go. I guess we got our signals crossed then. That's my bad.
Yeah, we had done 4:30 last week, so I just figured it was 4:30 again.
Oh, see, there we go.
Yeah. So that's why I was just doing dishes, and I looked down to my phone. I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, there you go. I figured out what the hell, I'm home.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You know, we're on.
Hey, like,
again, it wouldn't be a Philly Mick and Hump show.
It wouldn't be a show unless, unless we had some sort of random weirdness happen. And that's exactly the way we like
it. Exactly. It'd be boring if, you know, we just did one of these shows and there was no hitch and, you know, we were both here on
time. Everybody's wondering
Hump.
What's going to happen this week.
Yeah. We gotta make sure to have some kind of communication. And I'm sure the old man will be rather annoyed because I told him 4:30, and he was planning on listening and calling in. So.
Well, how could he be able to listen to like the last seconds? Well, anyway, obviously the last time we had our show, it was the day before the draft, which, by the way, we did a mock draft, and we all did terribly. In fact, it was pretty funny how terrible we did. I don't even know who won, but I know it wasn't me.
I know it wasn't
me. I got
me.
The first two right.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That was about it. It all went downhill from there. I got a bunch of positional things right, but I think it was a little shocking when the Chargers went Bosa, and it all went downhill from there. And then the whole Laramie Tunsil thing happened, and he fell down to our original spot. Can you imagine if we?
Oh my God! We didn't meet any news, and we're just sitting there, and Laramie Tunsil falls into our lap. We'd be going nuts. We'd love it.
Yeah. But that's not how it went. We got our man. We got our Carson Wentz. The Wentz wagon is here. Comes a whole bunch of quarterback controversy with Sam Bradford acting like a little bitch. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Sam Bradford, Mike Golic, if you listen to Mike and Mike ever, that he had a great rant on this. About Sam Bradford, and the one line that stood out to me was what he said: "You're a competitor. Put your big boy pants on and go to work."
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, how many times has this happened in the history of not just for quarterbacks and football, and every sport? The whole point is to get better as a team, and you know what? Sometimes your number comes up. And it's your time to have to compete with the young kid that gets drafted. I mean, plain and simple. This probably this happens a lot in the NBA, considering that you're only really starting five people, and you know your starting job is not always guaranteed. And obviously,
you know,
for quarterbacks, it's a little bit of higher profile and whatnot. But there's so many examples of people going in. You know what? Perfect example, DeMarco Murray.
Yep.
We trade him to the Tennessee Titans. He wasn't happy here. Whatever. That's fine. We part ways. We got a pick. It is what it is. Well, sure. What do the Tennessee Titans do? They go ahead and they draft that kid from Alabama.
Yeah, Derrick Henry.
He's going to be pretty good. They don't need a running back.
Yep.
They got DeMarco Murray. But they went ahead and drafted him anyway. And what does DeMarco say? Hey, welcome to Tennessee. This is going to be great. You know, blah, 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 blah. He says, I got you. I got you under my wing.
Yeah. And that's the way you'd expect a veteran to behave.
Absolutely. That is exactly how a veteran is supposed to act. You know what? Yeah, you know what? On the inside, you might be hurt. You might be upset. You might be like, what? You got to be kidding me. I've done mine.
I heard a great
line. I put mine in. And you're going to do this to me?
I heard a great line about this. Drew Brees, when he was in San Diego, and the Chargers did that. Remember the Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning deal, and they bring you Phillip Rivers. And their GM at the time, they text Drew Brees and says, hey, you know, called him and says, you know, we're getting Phillip Rivers here. And Drew Brees is deck responsive. That's great. Welcome into town. And then I'll make sure he never sees the light of day just by working my ass off.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
The attitude you should take. If Sam Bradford shows up to work, if Sam Bradford shows up to work and busts his ass and gets his team to the playoffs, you really think we're chasing him out of town after a year?
No.
If he takes us to the playoffs, you take a playoff run, that's great, Carson Wentz. Congratulations. You're a second overall pick. Now go find the bench.
Yeah.
That's
my whole goal would be to never have that kid play down in the NFL while I'm on this team.
Yeah.
And that's what a competitor does. But what a coward does is they cry about it. They say, well, I'm not coming to a voluntary camp. And you know what? I'm not going to pick up phone calls. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. He has literally not spoken to anyone since.
You can tell a lot about a person based on how their initial reaction. A person's initial reaction is fight or flight. His was flight. His was leave.
Yeah.
His was
don't
want to stand here and fight and be a competitor.
There's no turning back now. You can't be like, you know what? I've thought it over. I'm willing to put it. No, you lost the locker room. You lost
you
the respect
can't.
Of all
and
your
that's
fans.
What you should.
He's out of town. Get a 1-6 back for him. I don't give a flying F about him. Get him out. You're done.
So are you willing to then go into week one starting Chase Daniel?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with that.
And you're
not
going to
be great.
Settled in a pitcher,
it's going to be a struggle. There's no way. There's literally no way Sam Bradford can come back to this team. There's no way.
My gut reaction is never say never, but I get where you're coming
Goonies.
From. I get where you're coming from. I really do. And believe me, there's part of me that wants to
say how can he walk back into that locker room after what he did, after the reaction he had, and cutting off all communication to that team? There's a reason why only one person has said something since the whole Sam Bradford. Jordan Matthews. And he's the only one who said something. And it wasn't necessarily like, you know, hey, Sam, we want you back. It was just kind of a general comment. There's a reason, because no one respects him anymore. Because that's not how professional.
If I'm a player in that locker room, if I'm playing in the locker
Sam
room, my reaction is just, I'm worried about who's here. And if he comes here, whatever, we can, you know, I would sit down and have a conversation with him. I would tell him how I felt. But I guess it's just me.
I mean,
like,
if that's the case, Sam Bradford's going to have to sit down 52 other times.
And fine. I don't have a problem with that. He's a grown man. He's getting paid a lot of money. If he needs to sit down and have 52 separate conversations with 52 different people, he should be willing to do that. And he should be willing to hear some things that aren't so nice. And he's just going to have to be okay with that. I mean, because I would be greatly offended. And I would, like, I'm just saying, if I was a player, I would tell him, like, if he wanted to come and sit down and have a conversation with me, I'd tell him, hey, look, I'll let you talk, but understand, you got some work to do to win me back.
I don't know. I still don't see it.
You got some work.
Think about it this way.
I don't disagree with you that there are going to be players that feel that way either, by the way.
I know there are. What I'm thinking now is, you have this young kid.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of pressure on him to be number two. It's Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
A lot of pressure in that. So why add to the stress or the drama of having Sam Bradford around, knowing what Sam Bradford has already essentially made known about his feelings about this town and this team? Why would you want that drama, that negativeness anywhere near this quarterback? I wouldn't ever let the two of them meet. I would trade him now. Get rid of him.
Well,
I don't want him anywhere near Carson Wentz.
I got to be honest. If I was Howie Roseman, the second Sam Bradford walked out of that meeting where we told him what we were doing, I'm on the phone to Denver.
What they should have done is have a trade already in place when they've traded up for the number two. I would have went to Denver. I would have went to the Jets and been like, hey, listen, I got this trade going. I'm about to hit accept, and it's going to be on. Do you want Sam Bradford? Blah, 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 blah. Here you go. That way you get the most value for him. You get him out of town right away. You're done with it. Now this is
I would
have
been trying to work out a three-way deal to have Bradford included in that deal to move up to two. Maybe send in something, if the 63rd overall pick of this past draft had been included, and then sent, and maybe you don't have to give up your second in 2018. Yeah,
that would have been a better
option. Yeah.
Sure. Hell, I personally want to send them to Cleveland. I don't know what Cleveland's thinking. They need to do something.
It was a year ago Cleveland had a major hard on wanting Sam Bradford.
Yeah. I would have been like, yo, throw in Sammy Soft Fingers,
Sammy Sleeves.
I'll take away the third or second round pick, whatever.
Yeah. Either the second round pick in 2018 or the third rounder this year that we gave up.
Yeah, I'm gonna have it.
Boy, how did Cleveland set themselves up?
I know.
You got to
speaking of Cleveland. Speaking of Cleveland, I did want to get into this today. By the way, if you are out there listening, please call into the show. Please. It's 323-642-1469. That's 323-642-1469. Call in. I will bring you right on. You talk about whatever you want. I don't care if you want to talk about English Premier Soccer, or whatever. We'll talk about whatever. We don't care. Obviously, we're just talking about what's on our minds right now. And that happens to be the Eagles. We'll get into other stuff, I promise. But what I did want to go over with you, Hump, is the schedule came out pretty recently. And obviously, given what our situation is, we don't know whether or not we're going to have Sam Bradford or Chase Daniel as our starter. I hope to God, it's not Carson Wentz. I'd like to give the kid a year, but we'll see, whatever. Long story short, we don't really truly know what this team is, but we know we improved. We improved the defense. We've set ourselves up for future offensive success in Carson Wentz. But looking at the team as it is now, and looking at the schedule as it is now, what say you regarding, if you like, we can go quickly. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but quickly over the schedule.
No.
And we do a quick,
let's just
right
go,
now,
we can go a couple,
it is May. Let's do a quick win-loss total, and we'll see.
Yeah, reaction, just read each game. We'll just do.
Yeah, we progress throughout the next, we'll do one next month and then the next month, and we'll kind of see where we go. But, all right, so starting off, September 11th. A day that will live in infamy. We're playing the Cleveland
Browns.
To assume that has to be a win.
Yes.
To be a win. Okay.
Yeah. So
both
win.
All right. Next Monday night.
At Chicago
also has to be a win.
I agree.
Chicago Bears are terrible. They're just terrible.
Agreed.
September 25th, we play at home versus the Stellars.
L.
Now,
solid L.
See, I don't know about solid L, because, again, the Steelers' defense isn't what it was.
Well, it's early in the year, yeah.
Steelers' defense isn't what it is. Do they still have Brian, or is he suspended again? I forgot. I can't keep track of who's suspended.
I think he's
not
suspended again. Yeah.
Okay. So they lost and they lose another offensive weapon. I still think it's an L, but I think it's going to be a close game.
Okay.
So anyway, 2-1 heading into the bye. Then we come back. We go all the way to sunny Detroit in October.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I got to go win. All right, so we're both 3-1.
And imagine that we're going to be sitting here 3-1, and we're going to think, oh, wow, everything's great. But then,
wait until the schedule unfolds. We got the Redskins at Washington. I got to go with a loss. Yeah. All right.
Especially,
so we're both 3-2.
3-1 at that point. Yeah. 3-2.
Bound to come down. So then we got the Vikings at home. That has to be a loss.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like the Vikings are trending upwards. Their defense is getting better. Their offense is starting to click.
Love their pick of Treadwell, by the way. Yeah,
Treadwell, that'll certainly help. Got to be an L. Then we go down to Dallas for the Cowboys.
I hate to do it. 3 straight L's. But...
yeah, I got
to
go L as well. So now we're back down to earth.
Like we said, wait for it to unfold.
Yeah, we are 3-4, is it? Yeah, 3-4?
Yeah.
Then we go at Giants.
I think win. I just think ebbs and flows the season. I don't think you're going to lose 4 in a row like that.
I kind of agree. Yeah. And I always like to stay close to the splits with the divisional players or divisional teams. So I'll go with that. So we're 4-4 halfway through the season. Then we go home for the Falcons, which is a loss.
I have a win, so I'll go 5-4.
Okay, I think that's a loss. I think they improved vastly. Then we go all the way to Seattle. That's a loss.
Loss. So I've got them 5-5. You've got them 4-6.
Yeah. Then we come home to the Pack. That's a loss.
Loss. Yeah.
Then we go to Cincinnati. That's a loss.
Oh, yeah. So what's that, 5-8
with you? We had a 4-4 after the Giants.
Yeah.
And I had one.
I had a win loss. Yeah, only got one difference. I had a beating Atlanta. And then losing the next three.
Yeah, losing 1, 2, 3, 4. So I have them 4-8.
Okay,
here's 5-7.
Okay.
All right, Redskins, I think that's a win.
I do too.
Okay.
So
we're back in the winning column.
Seven,
we're
5-8.
Ravens, I think that's a win.
I agree.
I think the Ravens are in trouble. You have an aging Joe Flacco. You have not much offense to go around. Your defense is shoddy at best. You're just not the Ravens of old. So I think that's a win.
So is that?
So now we're at 6-8, and you're 7-7.
Yeah, 7-7.
Then we got the Giants, which I think is a win.
See, that's where I think we're going to go opposite, because I have them splitting with the Giants at 7-8.
Okay, so we're both 7-8. And then the Cowboys to end the year, I think we ended off January 1st. We're all hungover. We watch them Eagles beat them boys. Finish at 8-8.
I agree, and I think that ends up hurting the Cowboys, maybe either costing them a shot at the playoffs or, either as a division winner or wild card. So I think the Eagles ruin their season and finish off 8-8.
I like that. As of right now, given what we just did, who do you think does win the division?
Based on what we just did.
Gun to your head,
so
answer in 5 seconds. 5, 4,
I'll say the Giants.
The Giants? Oh, no. Giants are coming in last.
You really think so? See, I can look
really
at justification of anybody winning this division and anybody coming in last. I could
you're absolutely right. You really can say definitively. I think the Redskins take it, honestly.
Okay.
I think if the Cowboys were healthy, they will, but they're always hurt. Romo's always hurt. Romo's going to miss at least 4 or 5 games, like, guaranteed. And that's going to screw them up. So,
I think the Redskins are due for an implode. I think Deshaun Jackson,
I can totally
again.
See that. I see it as 9-7, 9-7 for the Cowboys and Redskins, where the Redskins have the advantage. And I think Eagles at 8-8, Giants at, 6-10, 7-9. I think we're all right there. Again, because we're all terrible.
Right.
It's a terrible division.
But the thing is, we all have 6 games against each other.
Yeah. It was funny. After the second round of the draft, I jokingly stated to you and Rob from Royersford and Rob from New Jersey.
Cherry Hill, and
Brad from NatCusp. Right. We were all talking, and I joking, and I said to everybody, who wouldn't switch places right now with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Oh, I would do it in a heartbeat. And I
think
that them as one of the big winners from this past draft.
Yeah, I mean, take the draft out of it just for a second. And think about they have a young quarterback who did very well for himself last year.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. You have a running game that's still trying to figure himself out, but you have a lot of talent there in Yeldon and in Robinson. You have two receivers that have emerged as top options in Robinson and Hearns. You have Julius Thomas that if he can stay healthy, he could really help that team. You have a decent offensive line. You have a defense that just signed Malik Jackson and already has a pretty good couple of linebackers on that team. And what did they just do? They just basically drafted what I personally think was the best player in the draft in Jalen Ramsey. And I want to say probably top 5 in Miles Jack because of his little knee. Now they're saying he doesn't need microfracture surgery. And if that's the case, if he comes out of this healthy, they're going to have 2 studs on defense.
And by the
way,
Their first round pick from last year got hurt. And it's not going to be coming back. Is Dante Fowler?
Another defensive end?
Yeah. He's going to be going to
the
future.
And Thomas is the linebackers? No, they did a phenomenal job in the draft.
I absolutely love the Jaguars. Yeah.
Yeah, the Jaguars
and
are definitely...
And I love their later pick, the fourth round pick, Sheldon Day. I thought he was a steal.
Yeah, no, that was a great pick, too. If you honestly look at that division... And think back, 5 years ago, what a joke that division was with Tennessee and Jacksonville and Houston. And the Colts really weren't all that great, but, by definition, they had to be because there was nobody else, and they were just beating up on the rest of the division.
Well, they basically had 5 or 6 wins just handed to them every year.
Yeah. Look at the division now, top to bottom. Yeah, top to bottom. Jacksonville has greatly improved. Houston, greatly improved. Tennessee, greatly improved, and the Colts have kind of stayed status quo, but they're right in the mix too. They all have quarterbacks.
One of those teams doesn't have COVID. Who's coming in fourth in this division? Whoever you were to say right now is going to come in fourth. I could easily make an argument they could win the division, no matter who it is.
I'm going to assume that it's still going to be Tennessee because I think Tennessee's still a year or two away from really, really competing. But
and I agree with
really
that.
Building on the building. They're really building some really good core pieces there. Honestly, I think that's what once was the laughingstock division is now probably going to be one of the best in the next couple of years.
Okay, and you and I both said that we think that the Tennessee Titans are going to come in fourth in that division. Right
yeah.
now, would you trade our Rotten Bears? I would.
Hmm. Ooh, let's see. Upgraded quarterback.
Well, you have your quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah. Upgraded quarterback, I believe. Who knows?
Yep.
But, yeah, for the time being, yeah, upgrade a quarterback, upgrade at running back.
Mm-hmm. We get our old running back back.
Yeah, our old running back back. Let's see, wide receivers. I'd say they're probably about the same with Kendall Wright
yeah.
and Dorham Green Beckham. They have tight end. I'd rather have ours.
Sure.
Offensive line. It's tough.
I mean,
because I love Lawan. I think he's going to be. Well, they drafted
Conklin.
Conklin, yeah. So they have Conklin and Lawan
yeah.
at the bookends. They have Chance Warmack, great guard.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough because I love Lane Johnson. I love
sure,
Peters,
so
but obviously you realize that Peters is getting up there. I like the signing of the kid from Houston. I love Kelsey.
Yeah, Brooks.
I'd probably say yeah, I'd switch because there's more youth on that line.
Exactly.
So offensively, we've agreed that we would switch everything but the tight end.
Right.
Okay, let's go to defensively.
Defensively,
obviously we love Fletcher
this
Cox.
Is where it'd be a tougher sell. Fletcher Cox, guy that, like,
we love Fletcher
you know,
Cox, but they have Jarrell Casey.
Yeah. yeah.
So,
true.
All right. That's not that bad of a wash. I personally like our linebackers better.
Yeah, I like Kendricks a lot. I like Jordan Hicks.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
They, you know, Rakbo and Morgan and... They have some good players.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say I'd probably prefer ours, but I could easily switch that as well.
Sure.
I would say
the
probably overall defensive line, I would definitely switch because I feel like each position through and through I like better than ours, even though I would hate to give
mm-hmm.
up Fletcher Cox. But yeah,
sure.
Secondary, oh, I mean, they got McCourty. God, that's a tough one. I mean, our secondary isn't that great,
yeah.
but I love Jenkins.
No.
I think he's a great leader. I like some of the young kids. I'd probably say it's a wash.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, I definitely think Malcolm Jenkins is the leader of this defense. And, I mean, I guess him or Fletcher Cox, but...
Yeah, but I think Malcolm's more of a vocal.
Malcolm's more of the outspoken, yeah.
Yeah, so. Well, so basically we've said we've switched teams, basically. Overall, I think we've switched teams with Tennessee Titans. That's pretty sad.
Yeah. Where is our team gone to? Where we're actually having this discussion and we're actually coming to the determination we've switched teams with you know, rosters
and with the Jaguars and with the Titans.
And the Titans.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, we have less than a minute. Yeah. Well, we have less than a minute, everyone. If you want to call in, now is the time. Get it in real quick. We can bring you on into the podcast. That way we can just kind of have fun there. So if you want, 323-642-1469. Otherwise, check us out on iTunes, all of our shows in the history of the Philly Mick and Hum Show. And it is I think we started our first show about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I think 2009 maybe. But anyway, so all of our shows are on there. Check us out. Give us a good rating. That would be great. Also, if we're on Facebook, check out the Facebook group pages. Check us out on Twitter, the_Philly_Mick and the_Philly_Hump. So for the Philly Mick,
I'm the Philly Hump.
Thanks for listening, Philadelphia. We'll see you in the podcast. All right, and we are on live and in the podcast.
But yeah, this is what you got at the end there. I said, yeah, we wouldn't switch places with the Browns. They're about the only team that I can definitively lay off my head. Absolutely not. Would not switch places, switch rosters with them.
You know, in all honesty, though, I don't think I'd switch places with the Redskins.
Yeah, I can agree with you. I don't think I would either. I don't
think
they have long-term answers.
There's nothing special about that team to me.
And that's part of why I picked the drop-off with them and not picking them to win the division. And then at the end there, when I said that I thought the Eagles would spoil the Cowboys' season, I was like, well, I don't see us winning the division, especially now it ain't me. And I just said the Cowboys were going to have their season spoiled, and I don't really want to pick the Redskins again. So it was by, you know, process of elimination, I just went with the Giants.
Right.
And the game
That's funny. Well, yeah, I agree. It could go either way, but, you know, unfortunately, looking at the schedule, I mean, in all honesty,
yeah,
I can see 9 losses in a row.
Yes.
From the Redskins to the Redskins.
So you could have us easily being 3-1 and then losing 9 straight.
Yes, I can.
Oh, God.
I mean, think about it. Again, a divisional game could go either way. I don't care what you say, it happens. Especially in our division, we're all so mediocre. It could all happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the Redskins, you have the Vikings, which are trending up. You have a divisional game in the Cowboys and the Giants, easily losable there. The Falcons. The Falcons could certainly, again, they have one of the best wide receivers in the game that, you know, he could just take over, especially given our defensive back deficiencies. Seattle's a top team. Packers are a top team. Bengals are a top team. And then you have the Redskins again, divisional game.
No,
I can see it. I don't believe it'll happen, and pray to God it doesn't. But I could see 9 losses in a row. And that would make me very sad.
If that happens, I mean, just think about it. Every time we do it, it's not only are we losing, but we don't even get the benefit of losing. We traded our first round pick.
Do we have our pick back?
Cleveland is just salivating over our loss. They come into the game against the Eagles week 1, and it's just like, well, if we win, it helps our draft. If we lose, it helps our draft.
Yeah, pretty much. They're going to that first game like, whatever. Who cares? We're the Browns. It doesn't matter. They're like the Eeyore of professional football. Oh, okay. Whatever. I guess so, poo.
They really are poo.
This is
in
terrible.
So many ways.
Well,
no,
it's
very
like,
terrible. Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say, we have spent quite a bit of time talking about the Eagles, and as we normally do, and that's kind of our thing. But how about them Phillies?
Yeah.
How about them Phillies?
Ten out of the last 12 or 10 out of the last 13. It's crazy.
Yeah. What are they,
including
5
their
games?
Stretch of 6 in a row.
Yeah, they're 5 games over 500?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, 16-11. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're winning one-run games. Last night they got a shutout. And then Norris and Jenmar Gomez out of the bullpen.
Speaking of those two, those two have been lights out, unhittable.
If there's any justice in the world, both of those guys are all stars.
Where did they come from?
They both just came out of our farm system, I think. And
I think they were created.
Somehow they cloned J.C. Romero and Ryan Madsen into Naren and Jean-Marc Gomez. They have been unhittable.
It's really, really. I mean, obviously our offense is so terrible. But again, if our pitching is pitching this way, we don't need that many runs. And that they've been showing.
I mean, last
that they
night
can,
nobody
could win the small
last
ball.
And the thing is, they didn't allow squat on the, like, there was not even really a point where I felt like the Cardinals were on the verge of scoring. Like they were never really threatening much. And Ryan Howard just hits a solo home run, and that's it. That's our offense.
Yeah, well, I mean, that does it. I mean, Ryan Howard in St. Louis, that's just what he does, which is nice, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, they split the first two games of St. Louis. Game three is tonight. And how about the pitching that we've gotten from, like, Vincent Velasquez? For all of those people who complained about trading Ken Giles, you know, all five people who actually knew we traded Ken Giles.
Right.
You know, those people who complained, you're still complaining because this is one of the byproducts of trading your closer on a 60-win team.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm certainly happy with the pitching that we've gotten, and I don't know how you can not be. I'm very encouraged, and I thought at the beginning of this year this was a team that, you know, granted, I didn't think they'd be 500, but I thought they're going to be better than people predict. And I heard experts saying they were going to win 60 games, and, if they won 60 games, they were going to struggle to get there. And
they're already a quarter of the way there.
Yeah, I think this team could end up finishing 500.
Yeah,
and if so, that's a great accomplishment.
It is. It absolutely is, especially with the young kids ready to come up in the next couple of years. We got the first pick in the draft. Like, things are looking good.
Encouraged. The kid that they're saying is that what's his name? Smoke the. I think that's his last name, the guy who he's a big left-hander from Florida or something that's supposed to be the top pick of the draft. There's some issue that, like, he's not even in school anymore. He's just like, whatever, I'm going to be pitching. I'm going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, ooh, that's a little scary, but hopefully it doesn't affect anything and the Phillies can draft him and hold on to him. So, jeez, well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to navigate through here. Unfortunately, I'm going to be bringing back up the Eagles. Unfortunately, like we really care. Yeah, darn. So, as you know, last year I went down to the Carolina Panthers game in Charlotte.
Yeah.
So, I had an amazing time, and it was fantastic. Even though the Eagles lost, it was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure. I've
my thought
process.
I've been to away games and whatnot. So my thought process is, why not every year go to an away game? This past year we went, a little bit ways away to Carolina. I'm thinking maybe a little bit closer to home this time around. So that pretty much leaves us with three games for options. So that's either the Redskins on October the 16th, the Giants on November the 6th, or the Ravens in Baltimore on December the 18th. Now, as much as
I would
love to go to the Ravens,
that's way close
like
to Christmas.
It was close to Christmas. If only it was a little bit earlier.
Yeah. And it's probably going to be really cold.
It's going to be freaking cold. And I'm not happy about that. So, that being said, Yeah, that being said, the Redskins kind of seem like the most ideal game to go to, considering it's still October. Although I will have to see if I'm going to actually be in Carolina at that point. So I think I'm going to Outer Banks early in October. So we'll see. But
okay.
Again, if I'm not, I'm down. And if not, well there's always the other the Giants game. But anyway, so
yeah.
I'm trying to get a bunch of people to go.
Love you.
Yeah, so I'm going to start something up now. And probably a little Facebook message. If anybody listening to this in the history of the Philly Mick and Hump Show is interested in going on the Philly Mick and Hump Show away game. Yes, I've officially named us as the sponsor of this trip.
Awesome. And I think what people should have to do, they should have to pay us for this trip, and we will definitely upsell on the ticket. To pay for our tickets.
Yes. Absolutely. So, looking at tickets, is it not good?
Yeah, I was going to say, if tickets go on sale, individual tickets for... I don't know when individual tickets go on sale, and I don't want to sound like that stuck-up snob, but, you know, being a season ticket holder, I don't really, like, know when that happens.
Right. So wait, I'm trying to go to, no way, I'm not paying $200.
No.
All right, buy resale
right
tickets
now. Yeah,
that's
the thing right now. If you're looking at like any of those like stuff up or anything like that, you get the people who are trying to jack up their tickets now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's we got to find out when, like, the Redskins, you know, single game tickets go on sale. You can just pay face value by ordering Redskins.
I'm on the ticket exchange by Ticketmaster, and it seems like, looks like, that's actually not bad. I wonder how many seats, though. So I'm seeing $73 is the cheapest ticket.
That sounds about right. That's how much an individual ticket goes for. That's just getting face value, probably.
Yeah, so let's see how many... here we go. Oh, no, wait, that's standing room only. F that.
Now.
Let's see. Well, no, it was in the same range. I'm just trying to find more. I'm only seeing one. Like, who sells one ticket? Like, what a jerk.
Shit, yeah, right?
So let's see. Let's go. No, it's still standing room. I'm just looking for, like, the most.
Yeah, that's why I always tell people, like, friends of mine who are like, oh, I want to get tickets to an Eagles game, I always tell people, like, the exact ticket to look for, because our seats, my dad and I, we have our two season ticket holders. Right next to me, there's an empty seat, and then after that is other season ticket holders. So that one seat is never getting sold. And so I'm always like, hey, buy that seat. Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of standing room. I'm only seeing four.
You see four?
Yeah, it's as much as I can see. It's, at least it's 100 or less for... Oh, wait. Oh, there's five. Five for 100.
Maybe the old man, Steve, or Fabian, or Senior...
As much as I love the old man, are you sure the old man can handle a trip to Washington? It's going to be some debauchery.
The old man's been on every trip with me to other games, and there's been plenty of debauchery. Our trip to Chicago, where he got basically sexually assaulted by a lady on the way out.
I'm not necessarily talking about the game itself. I'm talking about the fun before the game.
I'll do. You know I'll be all about the debauchery there, too.
All right, so here we go. I found one. 102 each, section 227. Let's see what that is. It's kind of in the corner. Six tickets. There's one for eight. What the? 442. Wow, that is way up there. 440, 442. That's kind of like where My old season tickets were at the Link, where it's like
yeah.
it's like last row. I could pretty much if I fall, I'm falling on 95.